Well, let's welcome back Coach Taylor. Coach, first of all, let's just say season 8, we're beginning together. How about that?
Holy smokes, man. I cannot believe that you and I have not strangled each other in 8 years of this thing that we call a podcast, man. So I'm excited that our relationship has grown. The development of this podcast is super cool. We really appreciate everybody that listens and calls in and engages. So, yeah, man, that's cool. 8 years, wow.
Well, we should say that, I mean, it's totally understandable that I wouldn't try to do that with you because you're like the greatest guy there is. But you, from your side, it's an entirely different story. I'm not choking me, so I would have got that. Coach, you have team updates for us this week.
Well, it's game week. It's week one. The Jazz level is really high around here as far as just players popping in and out. Just got out of an 11:30 meeting, just to kind of introduce our this week's opponent. And then we'll have a 2:30 meeting to, kind of set our minds right. And then we'll go special teams and position meet, get out on the field for a nice workout this afternoon, man. So just really excited. Now just think about where we've come from as far as that last game, losing the Saints, go the way we did. The banquet the day after, the off season, the book club, building and developing leaders, and for us to get to game week, we have four fifth-year seniors, and I just made them address the team on Sunday, talking to the younger guys of how they made it to 5 years, man. So just really excited for those guys. They came back, and just want to make sure that we're doing everything from a coaching staff standpoint that we can do to make a successful week one for our 5th years and the whole program. So.
Fantastic. But let's talk about big game this week. Take on a crown team that's coming off a 3-7 season, but they won 3 of their last 6 games. What are you looking at in this crown team that you feel you need to focus on for this contest?
Well, it always starts with the football. We got to take care of the ball. We have to make sure offensively, we possess it. We end every possession with a kick. Defensively, we got to at least generate 2 takeaways, and we got to take that ball away from them twice, which we did last year. We had 4 opportunities last year, and we only got 2. So that's important there. Relentless effort from both sides of the ball, and then discipline and the details in game one. And those are things that really kill you in game ones, is the discipline and the details. So if we could do those 2 things, be disciplined, take care, and detail our work, and then obviously take care of the ball. I think we'll like what the scoreboard looks like. But again, very, very confident, very young, talented crown team. I saw their coaches on the road a lot this summer, and we spoke, and they're feeling good about their squad, man. So we're gonna have our hands full Saturday, whenever we play, and we gotta go out and execute those guys. So
last year was a little more decisive victory for you guys over Crown in the first season. They battled back and made quite a game out of that. So what are your expectations for this contest?
I think it's gonna be a tough game. It's gonna be a tough game, man. They're good. They're young. They're talented. They're coached well. They're getting better. So again, we can't worry about other programs. Though we got to worry about ourselves. If we take care of our business, and we play the way that I know that we can play. We had a very challenging training camp. First time that I've done it like this in a long time. I like the way the guys responded. So we just take care of business, man. Our guys are battle tested. So we got to just go out and execute. So
this is a very young crown team with the exception of the offensive and defensive line. Do you see that as giving you any kind of advantage in this game?
I wouldn't say advantage. I think it's 23 freshmen, or I think it's 22 freshmen in the 2-deep. Meaning that, they're the next guy up, or they're starter. I think they have 8 freshman starters from what I remember when I was looking at their stuff late last night. So, I just know that those freshmen haven't been in the venue yet, in a college venue. Does that mean that they can't execute and outplay us? Absolutely not. That does not mean that. What it means is it's going to be some new experiences for those guys that some of our guys have had the experience already. So that's all it means. It doesn't mean nothing. We don't look into it. And too much deeper than that. We got to put 11 guys out there. They got to put 11 out. Our 11 got to execute. Our 11 has to try to out-execute their 11. That's what it really comes down to in all 3 phases. So,
I think an interesting matchup in this is they have 5 quarterbacks. 4 of them are freshmen. The one is sophomore Diego Nerezzo, who you didn't get to see last year, but he did play quite a bit for the team. Do you worry about that because the quarterback's just coming in kind of running the scheme, or do they become a big wild card because you have no idea what you might see out of these guys?
Hey, game one's a wild card for a lot of different reasons, and that, you just highlighted one of them. You don't know what you're gonna see, man. I got our coordinators looking at tape from last year, and they're, and I'm just looking at those guys, and they're all fired up, and I'm like, man, we don't know if these guys are even gonna do this. Well, it's gonna come down to us trusting our training. It's gonna come down to football. Comes down to this: blocking, tackling. All right. Take care of the football. We do those things, and obviously I've never questioned our effort. We have a relentless effort. We got to, hopefully, that we like to score when it looks like at the end of the game. So,
how do you see your offense this season matching up against what Crown tries to do on defense?
Well, this is the biggest we've been up front, offensive line wise. So I'm excited about that. Obviously. Everybody that listens to the show knows how I feel about running the football and how I feel about throwing the football. So, we'll see. We're going to let the game kind of come to us and try to attack whatever weakness / whatever they give us. I could easily sit here on the show and say, hey, we're going to throw the ball 20% of the time and run it 80%. Well, they might not, their defense might not dictate that. So we got to get out there and run our base stuff and see where we can get into a groove and find our home for the afternoon of what we want to do. So.
I think you already answered our keys for the game here. So let's jump into fan questions. Gary would like to know, how many times have you been asked if this is going to be the season where the team has a winning record?
You know what? I have not been asked that much. And that's okay. It's all right. One at a time, 1 week at a time, one play at a time. Like that's where my home's got to be, as much as, human nature to want that, as much as, you can look in the record books and say, "Wow, we haven't done this since then." It is. I'm not doing myself, or I'm not doing the team a service, the right service of doing it that way. So I got to focus on 1 week seasons and go from there. So I haven't been. And so knock on wood, I haven't been asked that question much. But I'm just really focused in on week one. So
Don would like to know: do you have a lot of the alumni who contact you before the season gets underway to talk to you and wish you good wishes for the upcoming year?
A few, more so the guys that played for me, like from 2013 to 14-15, and a lot of those, actually Connor Levin's quarterback, who probably was on this show a couple times. And Connor Levin just texted me this morning out the blue and, "Coach, man, good luck. Be watching," because he's out in Arizona. So it's all good, man. It's good to be connected, and that's one of the best parts about college football. Not that high school football or the NFL, you can't be connected, but I think this is one of the greatest games. NFL, it's all a business, and not to say you can't teach and develop men, but they're grown men at that point with families, and they're probably making more money than you as a position coach or a head coach. But in college, man, it's just the dynamic is just different, man. It just is. The guys are really coming into their own. They're growing up. They find out who they are. So that's why it makes it a little bit different. And when the light switch finally comes on, it's a cool thing to see. So.
Beth would like to know, what is one area where you would like to see Alejandro really step up his game this year?
Obviously, we can cut down the interceptions. Staying in the pocket and trusting the process as far as, working in the confines of a pocket. That's a scary place to be as a sophomore. When you got 275-pound guy, you got four 275-pound guys breathing down your neck, wanting to rip your head off, and we as coaches are saying, "Hey, Alejandro, just hang in there a little bit longer." Like, that's a scary thing, man. So, but if we can get him to hang in the pocket, because we have some talented receivers that can get open, and if we can do those things, I think he'll have a good junior year. So,
I'm curious from you, because it sounds like from all indications you've talked about during the offseason that you're expecting this to be potentially the best offensive line that you've had since you've been the head coach at Hamlin. How do you feel that Alejandro adjusts to that? He hasn't had that great and a spectacular offensive line in previous year. So does it take a little bit of time for him to go, "Man, these guys are really good, I'm going to be okay here in the pocket"?
Well, yeah, it takes a little bit of time. It all ties in. We got to be able to run the football. If we can run the football, then it opens up some things in the pass game. So it's all, I know, and that's the one beautiful, I shouldn't say beautiful thing. The one tough thing about that quarterback position is everybody can critique it very easily, but they don't know all the ins and outs of why something didn't work. So it'll take some time. And, Coach Harris is doing a good job with the O-line. We still got a ways to go. I'm not anointing them yet, but I'll say this is the biggest we've been, you know. So, you know, you can't coach size, and if we can just get those guys to be working on one accord, and that's the hardest one to do, man. The offensive line and DBs all got to work together. You know, it's not a receiver go out there and run his route. It's everybody's got to be right on the same page. So we can do that more times than not. We'll have a chance. So,
Sean says, I'm just curious about your thoughts. When the head coach used to be a defensive assistant, do you think it makes sense to have the assistant head coach be on the offensive side of the ball, or does that factor into the decision at all?
That's a great question. I've been fortunate. We had a guy by the name of Brian Sheehan, who's actually over at the University of Minnesota. And he was the first guy that I hired, actually, man. And he was my assistant head coach, and he was an offensive guy. And it was actually good because he was more so the offensive. He was more so the head coach of the offense. At a school like this, when I mean a school like this, when you have a small staff, and I truly had to be in the weeds last year with the defense and, you know, a little bit more hands-on, it is good to have that person on the offensive side. This year, I'm a little bit more, you know, with a new offensive coordinator, two coordinators on defense that's been in the system, and you know, they're going to take it over. It allows me to really coach the whole program and coach the coaches, the players, and all of the above. So yeah, it does matter when you know if you're more defensive guy and you're going to be in with the defense a lot, better have somebody over there that's capable and has wise counsel. So
Thomas would like to know, what is your favorite opening day moment in your career?
Favorite opening day moment? Oh, wow. Maybe. Probably the first time I was a head coach here at Hamlin and running the team out and just taking a little bit of time to just stop and breathe and just say, wow, man, you know, dude, you have some coaches that will coach 35, 40, 45 years that want to be a head coach, and they'll never get that opportunity. It won't happen. You know, so for me to be fortunate enough to be at Hamlin for 8 years and, you know, sitting in this seat it's been truly an exciting ride and a blessing. I'm very fortunate and excited and proud to be the head coach here. Now it's time to go out and put these young men in a good position to have some success on a Saturday. So
that's fantastic, Coach. So let's hear some incredible opening day words of wisdom from you.
You know what? It goes. I'll say this. It goes back to our training camp philosophy. You know, I was back and forth on, you know, man, how much do we tackle in practice? You know, because we didn't tackle live in practice before that Crown game last year because, you know, scared to get people hurt. You know, Coach Taylor just being Coach Taylor, just caring about everything. Not that I don't care about these guys, but I said, you know what, man, it's difficult to box without sparring. Think about that, right? A boxer is not getting in a ring without sparring, right, and throwing punches, man. This is the most tackling that we've done in the 8 years that I've been here in training camp. So the words of wisdom I told those guys when camp hit, I said, it's difficult to box without sparring. So we're gonna put the gloves on and we're going to spar with each other. And iron sharpens iron. And so those are the words of wisdom for today. And that's what I kind of used in training camp. So
I like it a lot. Coach Taylor, thanks for joining us this week.
All right. Thanks for listening. And let's go Pipes.
Well, let me welcome Zach Grable to the show. Zach, let's first of all begin with, tell me a little bit about why you decided to choose Hamlin University as your college home.
Yeah, why Hamlin? So I made that decision quite a long time ago in 2019 and had to make a decision this past year if I want to come back for a fifth year. And the answer's been the same the whole time, is the people. I mean, the second I step on campus, like from the football staff to athletic staff to people in cafeteria, President Miller, everyone just treats me so well. My advisors are like family. And so the community within the athletics as well, just outside of athletics, like it's a place I always wanted to be a part of. And that's why I came back this season.
Was that a hard decision for you or just seemed natural to come back for a fifth year?
I mean, I obviously had to take some time just to look into like how things would play out with jobs and academics and stuff. But when I really sat down and thought about it, like, whatever business environment I end up being in, I knew that the community I have here is the people I'd want to be around. And so if I have the opportunity to be here for four more months around these people, like, I couldn't pass that up.
And what did you choose as your major at Hamlin?
So I'm a physics major. And then to come back this fall, I picked up a double major in computational data science.
But that's awesome. That's excellent. So, Zach, tell us a little bit about Hamlin enters this season, big game against Crown this week to start out the year. What are your personal expectations for the team this year?
Personal expectations? We're going to be fast. We're going to be physical. We're going to fly around. The way camp's been, the way our culture is, I'm just excited to be a part of it. Guys have fun and play hard.
You enter as a captain for this season. Well-deserved honor. I know the guys greatly respect you. How do you view being a captain of the Pipers?
Appreciate that, first off. But it's just an opportunity to serve them. I mean, we have just amazing people on our team and our staff that I get to serve. It's kind of the way I look at it, doing whatever we need to move our culture forward and just try to set an example and set a groundwork for seasons and the community to come.
Now, the Pipers have been on the cusp of finally breaking that long streak of not having a winning season. And is that a goal that you guys set when you enter each year, or are you just kind of worried about one game at a time?
Yeah, I mean, right now it's one game at a time. So we're looking at whoever we got on Saturday, and that's just what we're focused on right now.
Looks like you guys are going to be very good defensively this year. What do you feel about this defensive group? What are they going to look like on the field?
Like I said earlier, they're going to be fast, going to be physical. I mean, the defense we have, the way we're being coached, and just the characters and personalities and the work we put in, like athletic guys that are going to just move around, play their butts off.
A very experienced defense, it looks like, this season as well. Do you see that as a major advantage as you move through the year?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, all the guys out there have played everybody we played before. So being a little bit more familiar with the offenses as well as just taking that next step on within our playbook and just understanding how to play and communicating with each other, having a leg up on that has been awesome.
Tell me about what kind of guy you are in the locker room.
It's probably no secret, but I'm a pretty high-energy guy. You can probably tell, I absolutely love this place. So there's a lot of passion and a lot of emotion and energy that come out in the locker room and on the field. Usually one of the loudest people, don't stop talking. Just really excited to be where my feet are at here.
When you enter a season, do you set personal goals for yourself of what you want to accomplish during the year?
That kind of comes and goes with age, I guess. Me being a fifth year now, mostly just team-oriented and trying to just serve and lead the best I can. So personal goals, not necessarily. Just want to give my best and give my all is kind of all I focus on.
Well, Zach, let me send you out on this. Tell me, why is it great to be a Hamlin Piper?
Good question. Why is it great to be a Hamlin Piper? Our culture, our community, you couldn't find a more supportive group of people, like I said, from our team, having the opportunity to live and work with guys from all over the country is an amazing opportunity for a Minnesota boy like me to grow up as a person. And that is what I found here. Getting to have bosses like our staff that we have and my advisors and everything. Just a community that treats me so well, wants me to grow up, be a good young man. And having all that around me and then the opportunity to go represent them and go play for them every Saturday is truly, truly an amazing time to be a Piper.
Fantastic. Zach Grable, thanks for joining me.
Yeah, thank you for having me.